Okay, I'm recording. Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Continuing the themes of the Daf Yomi, so there's a very fascinating topic referred to as loisis goididu, and there's even a question in the Gemara what the word simply means. The Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. You, it's a beautiful pasuk. You are children to Hashem. Loisis goydedu, and we'll see what that pasuk means in a minute. V'loisosimu korcha b'neinechem lemeis. Don't create a bald spot between your eyes in anguish over a mace. The Rashi explains, what does that have to do with banim Lashem? That means that because we're the sons of Hashem, because we're the nation of Hashem, so we should not make ourselves repulsive. We shouldn't do repulsive things. We have to remember our own self-worth, our dignity, and as much pain or anguish a person is going through, he has to remember that he's a child of the Eibishter. We have a father in heaven, and that it's we have to keep ourselves in a certain respect, a self-respect, a certain dignity. And the Ramban says on this pasuk a fascinating thing, that we're all children to Hashem, and when a person passes away, lo yaleinu, he's simply going back to his father. So we're entitled to cry, to miss over a lost one, a loved one, a relative, but we have to keep in mind that it's as if they went on a trip. They went back to their father. So it's a consolation. It's telling us it's not necessary to have too much anguish, because we have to remember that we're returning to Hashem. The first part of the pasuk, loisis goydedu. What does that pasuk mean? What do those words mean? So let's learn the sugya and yavamis together. And this is the sugya, this is where it discusses loisis goydedu, that we have to try to perform the mitzvahs in a unified fashion. We're going to learn what the reasons for that halacha is, and we're going to attempt to bring the various shittas regarding the application of this halacha. So here's the Gemara in Yevamos, and it's very interesting how apropos this Gemara is. It includes a lot of timely topics for this time of the year. Daf Yomi is Hashgacha Pratis. Every time, it always is relevant to exactly the time that we're in. So the Gemara says in Yevamos, on Daf Yud Gimel Lamed Beis, Tnan Hasa. We discussed this Gemara before. The Mishnah says in Maseches Megillah, Megillah nikreis be'echad ba'asar. The Megillah sometimes is read on the 11th of Adar, ubishneim asar on the 12th of Adar, ubishloisha asar on the 13th of Adar, uba'arba asar on the 14th of Adar, that's Purim, ubachamisha asar, and on the 15th of Adar, that's Shushan Purim, that's the Purim in a walled city. Loi pachas v'loi yoiser, never earlier than the 11th and never later than the 15th. And we discussed this a number of weeks ago when we were learning Maseches Megillah about the notion of the different types of chiyuvim of the Megillah. So asks Reish Lakish, Omalei Reish Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, Ikri kan loisis goydedu. I should apply the verse loisis goydedu, our verse, where this Mishnah is in conflict. This Mishnah is a violation of loitis goydedu. What does that mean? So Reish Lakish darshins the pasuk loisasu agudois agudois. We should not perform the mitzvah in groups. Loisasu agudois agudois. The pasuk says loisis goydedu. What does that word mean? It tells us Reish Lakish loisasu agudois agudois. We cannot perform the mitzvahs in groups. We cannot perform the mitzvahs in a divisive manner. Some people are reading the Megillah on the 15th, some people are reading the Megillah on the 14th, some people are reading the Megillah on the 12th. Isn't this a violation of loisis goydedu? So the Gemara, now, how would this fit into the verse? A very beautiful notion, that banim atem Hashem Elokeichem, that we are sons, we're children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loisis goydedu, we have one father, we shouldn't be behaving, we shouldn't be operating in a divisive manner. Some people do it this way, some people do it that way. We should perform the mitzvahs in a uniform manner. We'll see more about this. That's what Reish Lakish Tain is. That's Reish Lakish's kasha on the Mishnah in Megillah. How can we be performing mitzvahs in various groups? That's a violation of the pasuk lois is going to do. That's what the pasuk means. We cannot perform mitzvahs differently from one another in various groups. Asks the Gemara, "Hi, lois is going to do mi boi le legufe." Is that what lois is going to do means? It means the simple translation: the Omer Rachmana leisasu chabura al neis. That just like the second half of the pasuk, we're not allowed to tear our hair, pull our hair out over the mace. We can't inflict bodily wounds over a mace. It's like a pagan custom to inflict bodily wounds over a lost one, a loved one. So the pasuk lo siskoidedu is not an expression of groups, agudos, agudos. The pasuk of lo siskoidedu means gedida. Gedida means to harm ourselves, to injure ourselves out of anguish over the mace. Loisasu chabura al mace. So the Gemara explains, Reish Lakish defends his translation. Imkein lemakra loy sigoididu. If the pasuk simply meant we can't inflict the wound, it would have said tigoididu, because gedida means to inflict the wound. My tisgoididu, the extra tough, shmami no lahachihuda asa, the pasuk does not mean that we can't inflict the wound. The pasuk means we should not perform the mitzvos in various groups. So then the Gemara asks, Ve'ema kula lahachihuda asa. So maybe the entire pasuk just means the way Reish Lakish translated it. Why do we also have a tradition that we're not allowed to inflict the wound over a mace? So imkein lemakra loy tagudu. If the pasuk just meant aguda, the pasuk would have said tagudu with one dalet. So my loy tisgoydedu. So if you look at the word has an extra tuf to it, and it also has an extra dalet. So it doesn't just mean gedida, because there's an extra tuf. It doesn't just mean agudos, because there's an extra dalet. Shmami no tarti, the pasuk means two completely different things. The pasuk means we cannot inflict ourselves a wound over a mace out of anguish. We cannot pull our hair out. We cannot inflict the wound upon ourselves. And the pasuk also means something completely different. The pasuk means that we can't perform mitzvahs in groups. All under this one heading, we are all the children of a one father, of a father in heaven. Now Rashi says, and we're going to come back to this, Rashi says, what's the reason behind this mitzvah that we shouldn't perform mitzvahs in groups? Loisasu agudais agudais. Rashi says, dinire kenoyagin beis tairas. So it's not because of shalom, it's not because of we want to have unity or shalom. The reason, or achdus, the reason is because it's a chilul Hashem. It's as if there are two different Torahs. It's more of a kavod Torah if everyone is performing the mitzvahs, everyone is behaving similarly, to show that we have one Torah from our one Father in heaven. If I'm doing something this way and you're doing something that way, it undermines the fact that we're one nation. It undermines the fact that we received one Torah from a Kadosh Baruch. A very powerful idea. So Reish Lakish is asking a question. How could the Mishnah say that you have various groups reading the Megillah at different times? Isn't that a violation of Lois Iskoydedu, which Reish Lakish teaches us means we're not allowed to perform the mitzvahs agudais agudais? By the way, the Mefarshim say that this is a real, it's not just a play on words, this is a real Isser d'Oraisa. The Kesef Mishnah writes that it's a real mitzvah d'Oraisa. It's a negative commandment, aloisase, loisasu agudais agudais. This is a real serious mitzvah. We have to try as much as possible to perform the mitzvahs in unison, in one way, in a united way, a unified way. It can't give the appearance that there are two different sets of rules for Klal Yisrael. There's one Torah for Klal Yisrael. So Reish Lakish is asking, how could it be that we read the Megillah at different times? So Rabbi Yochanan, he responds with a question. Omar Lei, so this is item Gimel. Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, Ad kan le shanisa makim shenagu lasis balacha. So why did you wait all the way till Maseches Megillah to ask your question? You never learned Psachim. Psachim comes before Megillah. So doesn't it say in Maseches Psachim that some places have the minhag not to work, not to perform malacha on Erev Pesach? Other places don't have that minhag. Makom shenagu lasis malacha b'yarvei Psachim ad chatzos. Some places people do go to work, they do perform halacha until midday Erev Pesach. Oisin, then you're allowed. Makum shenagu shloi lasois, ein oisin places. Some places have the custom that they don't go to work at all Erev Pesach. They want to devote the entire time to the mitzvahs of the night, of the Laila. They want to make sure they have their matzah, their maror. They're spending all day getting ready for the Seder. In the old days, getting ready for Karban Pesach. So why are you waiting till Maseches Megillah to ask your question? The Mishnah already said in Maseches Pesachim that we allow various minhagim. Some communities have the custom not to do malacha on Erev Pesach, and some communities have the custom that they do malacha on Erev Pesach. So Reish Lakish defends himself. Omar, and now we have to pay attention to the Gemara, because every step of the Gemara we learn new things. Omar Lei, Reish Lakish defends himself. Amina Lacha Ana Isura. I'm asking from the Mishnah in Megillah, because in my mind, that's a violation of like the sky to do, because that's usur. It's usur for the people in the walled cities to read the Megillah on the 14th. It's usur for the people on the 14th in the prazois, in the unwalled cities, to wait till the 15th. That's isura. The Chachamim established as an isur. It's almost like there's two Torahs. The Omer of Shem and Barabba, Omer of Yechon, and the Kaimis, he may Purim his Manehem. The Gemara says that there's two separate Purims. Zmanim harbe tiknu lahem. There are many different Purims out there. Some people observe Purim on the 14th. Some people observe Purim on the 15th. That's considered a violation of Loi Tiskoydidu, says Reish Lakish. V'at amrit li minhaga. And you are turning back and demonstrating, you're giving me an example of a mere minhag. The Mishnah says in Psachim that some places have the custom that they do malacha Erev Pesach before Chatzos, and other places don't have that custom. How can you challenge me from a minhag? A minhag is not a violation of Loi Tiskoydidu. Megillah is a violation. I should have one Purim and you should have another Purim. That's a violation of Loi Tiskoydidu, says Reish Lakish. I want an answer. I need an answer to my kasha. Don't deflect my kasha by showing me examples of various minhagim. Minhagim are not subject to Loi Tiskoydidu. Isura is subject to Loi Tiskoydidu. So Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't answer the question yet, but Rabbi Yochanan persists. You still should have asked your question from the Mishnah in Psachim, because the Mishnah in Psachim also says, Laila, that what about the night of Erev Pesach, the eve of Erev Pesach, the Bedikas Chametz night? Beishamai oisir no Beisil matir. Beishamai says you're not allowed to perform malacha, and Beisil says you are allowed to perform malacha. So this Mishnah actually argues on the previous Mishnah, whether or not we can perform malacha on Erev Pesach is not merely a minhag. This Mishnah holds that it's subject to Isser V'Heter. Some places, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing if you're allowed to perform malacha the eve, the Bedikas Chametz night of Erev Pesach. So it already discusses scenarios where there are different ways of doing things. The Machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I imagine the Gemara could have asked from many Machlekes in a Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that how do you justify some places hold it's asur, some places hold it's mutter? So it's not merely a minhag. So again, Reish Lakish responds, Omer Lei, Hasam Haroya Oimer Malacha Hu Deleslei. Reish Lakish explains, I don't have a problem with the whole idea of Psachim that some people are working and some people are not. Because it doesn't look as if it's two Torahs. Because whoever is working is working. Whoever is not working, everyone might say that he simply doesn't have what to do. Maybe he never works. Maybe he's a batlan. Maybe he doesn't ever go to work. So just because one person's working and another person's not, you're not performing a mitzvah in a divisive manner. It's not a gudais a gudais. You don't have that there's two sets of rules for different people, because simply you're not working because you don't have anything to do. I'm working because I have what to do. It doesn't show a divide. It doesn't undermine the concept of one Torah. But when it comes to Megillah, when it comes to Purim, how could it be that the Chachamim say that different people observe Purim on different days? That should be a violation of Loi Tiskoydidu. That's where we stand. That's Reish Lakish's question. So Reish Lakish, what did we learn from this Gemara? So we learned from this Gemara a few things. Reish Lakish is telling us, I don't have a problem if people have different minhagim. I don't have a problem. That's minhag. I do things one way, you do things another way. That's not a problem. That's not what it's going to do. I'm only discussing when there are rules, when there's Isser V'Heter. Says Reish Lakish, I also don't have a problem if you can excuse yourself. You know why you're not working? You could, so to speak, excuse yourself because I don't have anything to do. That's why I'm not working. You know why I'm not plowing my field today on Erev Pesach? Because my field doesn't need to be plowed. I don't have a field. That's why I'm not working. You're working because you have to plow your field. So it doesn't show, it doesn't demonstrate, it doesn't undermine the concept of one Torah. So Reish Lakish is teaching us a lot of things. Loi tiskoidedu, we can't perform mitzvahs, we can't have different sets of rules. Minhag is not subject to this, because minhag is not considered two separate sets of rules. It's just merely ways of doing the same thing. And then you have, even if there is a separate rule, if you can justify, if it's not obvious that you're observing a separate set of rules, then there's no violation of loi tiskoidedu. That is what Reish Lakish taught us. We're going to come back to this. Now the Gemara asks, and this is why this sugya finds its way into Maseches Yevamos. Now the Gemara asks in item Dalit, but Beis Shammai's matirin hatzaris la'achim ubeis Hillel oisrim. So anybody who's learning Yevamos realizes that this is a central theme in Maseches Yevamos. If a man is married to two women back in the day, and he passes away without children, so his brother has a mitzvah to marry one of those two women. The Gemara tells us that according to Beis Hillel, the only time there's a mitzvah to marry one of the women to perpetuate the name of the deceased is when he could marry either of the two. But if one of the women is an erva to him, imagine if your brother is married to your daughter, he married his niece. Since you can't marry one of the women because one of the women is an erva, the other woman goes free. She's also not subject to Yibum. Now we're talking about Eshesach, we're talking about marrying your sister-in-law, which ordinarily would be forbidden, it would be an Erva in and of itself. But there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Beis Hillel says there's only a mitzvah of Yibum if you could marry either of the two. If you can't marry one, then automatically you can't marry the other, and it reverts back to the prohibition of Eshesach, of your sister-in-law, which you're ordinarily not allowed to marry. Beis Shammai disagrees with the entire halacha. Beis Shammai says, true, granted, you can't marry the erva. We're not going to expect the man to marry his brother's wife if his brother's married to his own daughter. I'm not going to marry my own daughter. But I could marry the co-wife. I can perform Yibum on the co-wife. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. So now this is like heavy stuff. According to Beis Shammai, we allow the brother, the surviving brother, to perform Yibum on the co-wife and live with his sister-in-law. According to Beis Hillel, that would be a chi of karis. That would be an erva. And this is, we're discussing, the stakes are very high. We're discussing arayas. We're discussing mamzerus. The stakes are very high. Beis Shammai permits the tzara to marry the yavam, and Beis Hillel says that there's absolutely no mitzvah of yibum. It's forbidden to take the sister-in-law. So this should be the biggest loi tiskoidedu of all. Says the Gemara, who says Beis Shammai practiced what they preached? Maybe Beis Shammai was just expressing this opinion academically, but maybe Beis Shammai agrees that the halacha follows Beis Hillel. There was never any time that different people were doing different things. Says the Gemara, it's not true, because Rabbi Yochanan Omar asu v'asu. Rabbi Yochanan says that indeed Beis Shammai married the tzara, the co-wife, and Beis Hillel didn't. So there's no bigger like this going to do than this. According to Beis Shammai, it's not an erva. It's not a forbidden relationship. And according to Beis Hillel, it's a chi of karis and it creates mamzeris. There could be no greater disparity, no greater divisiveness or two toirais as this. So the Gemara goes on with the discussion. Umanda Omar Asu, Krinabe like Tiskoidedu, like Sasu Gudis Gudis. So what's the pshat? So how does Beis Shammai, how can we allow this to coexist? That Beis Hillel is letting the co-wife go free, and Beis Shammai is marrying his brother's wife. How can we allow this to exist? So here are the two answers, and these are the final answers. Omer Abaye. Abaye says, Ki amrinu lo tiskoidedu, when is there a prohibition of doing things differently? Ki goin shtei batei dinim bi'irachas. If you have two separate batei dinim in the same city, one bezdin, two authorities, two different power bases. One Bezdin is ruling this way, and the other Bezdin is ruling the other way. Halalu Moirin Kedibri Beis Shammai, Halalu Moirin Kedibri Beis Hillel. two separate batei dinim in the same city, each one doing their own thing. That's a violation of this covenant. Avo shtei batei dinim ishtei ayaris. But if you would have two separate batei dinim, one city, one bezdin is in Philadelphia, and another bezdin is in Boca Raton, and each bezdin is ruling its own way, that's not a violation of Leitas Goydidu, because it doesn't have the appearance in one place of two Torahs. That's Abaye's answer. Abaye says two cities are allowed to be doing things differently, but in the same city, you can't have people doing things differently. You can't have two batei dinim, each one doing its own thing, operating independently in the same city. That's Abaye's shita. The criteria is different cities. Amar le Rava. Rava disagrees. We didn't segregate the Talmidim of Beis Shammai and the Talmidim of Beis Hillel. We didn't force all the Talmidim of Beis Shammai to live in Philadelphia and all the Talmidim of Beis Hillel to live in Boca Raton. They lived together. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were allowed to live amongst each other. And we have two different groups doing two different things in the same city. Elohama Rava, so rather Rava fine-tunes Abaye's answer. When is it a violation of Leitas Goydidu? Kegoin bezdin bi'ir achas, one bezdin in the same city, plag moirin k'dibri be'shamai, half, it's like a hung jury. The bezdin can't get its act together, the bezdin can't issue a unified ruling. One half of the bezdin is ruling like be'shamai, and the other half is ruling like be'shil. They can't come to a definitive decision, and they just disband, and each one is ruling his own way. That's a violation of Leitas Goydidu. It's almost as if the prohibition of Leitas Goydidu is on the Bezdin. It's on the Rabbanim in the city. It's on the authority of the city. The leadership of the city have to present the united front. That is the prohibition of Leitas Goydidu. Avu shtei batei dinim bi'irachas, but two separate batei dinim that each one is authorized to operate independently, even in the same city, it's not a problem. So this is Rava's final teretz, that the reason Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were allowed to rule differently, and Rabbi Yochanan says they actually followed their respective opinions, the reason is because you're allowed to operate two groups in the same city as long as each one is following its own authority. When is there Leitas Goydidu? If the one authority is split, is undermined, is not having a united front. That's when there's a Leitas Goydidu. And the Rush says that that's the maskana. Aska Rava, Rava's concludes in the sugya, and this is the halacha, that we only consider it to be Leitas Goydidu. It's only undermining the concept of one Torah. If there's one bezin in the city that's basically conflicted among itself, issuing opposite rulings, that's the violation of Leitas Goydidu. But if there's clear authorities, one authority rules one way and the other authority rules the other way, each group is allowed to follow its authority, and that's not a chasaron, it's not a problem of Leitas Goydidu. Leitas Goydidu, we shouldn't give the appearance of two Torahs, is when one bezdin, one body, is not able to come with a definitive halacha, and they basically are just giving contradictory psakim. That's the violation of Leitas Goydidu. But if you have clear two separate authorities, each one is entitled to rule the way it sees the halacha, and each group could have its following. It's an eye-opener that according to the Rush, that's the maskana, that's what Rava seems to be saying, that it's only like this going to do if the one authority is conflicted. But if there are two separate, distinct authorities, each one is allowed to paskin its way. But two batei dinim in the same city, says the Rush, is not a problem. And all the more so, if it's two different communities altogether, there's no problem of Leitas Goydidu. Okay, so let's see how this applies l'maisa. The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Pesach, in Simen Tav Tzadik Gimel, and this is one of the main Mara Mekomis, one of the main sources. Yeah, we're gonna talk all about this. So we're gonna go through the halachas how it applies. So says the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tav Tzadik Gimel, says the Rama. This is the halachas of Sfiras Omer. We all know that the minig is not to get a haircut during Sfiras Omer. Basically, the concept is that for 33 days we observe a semi-mourning period. We don't take haircuts and so on. Listen to music. There's different minhagim how to count the 33 days. So the Ramah says, Baharbi Mekoimis, in many places, Noigin Lestaper, people continue getting haircuts ad Rosh Chodesh Iyar, until Rosh Chodesh Iyar. That means that we ordinarily don't get haircuts during Chol HaMoed Pesach anyway, but after Pesach, starting from Sfiras HaOmer, the second day of Pesach, until Rosh Chodesh is about 2 weeks, about 2 weeks until Rosh Chodesh, from second day Pesach until, basically it's the second half of the month that's left. So all the way from the Sfiras HaOmer until Rosh Chodesh is about 2 weeks. So some people get haircuts during that time, and they don't start their Sfiras HaOmer. They don't start their Avelus until after Rosh Chodesh. So says the Ramah, in these places where they get haircuts until Rosh Chodesh, so they should not get a haircut after Lag BaOmer. They have to go all the way till Shavuos in order to make up the 2 weeks after Lag BaOmer until Shavuos. Even though we suspend the mourning for Lag BaOmer itself, but they have to resume their Avelus all the way until Shavuos. Those places, says the Ramah, that the minhag is that they get a haircut from after Lag BaOmer and on, they no longer observe their Avelus. So in order for them to get their 33 days, they have to start their Avelus second day Pesach when they count the Omer, and they pick up the 2 weeks on that side of the Sfira, and they have their mourning for the 33 days from the beginning until Lag BaOmer. And says the Ramah, we can't have in one city mixus minigzeh or mixus minigzeh. You can't have it that some people are observing the first sphera, we call it, and some people are observing the second sphera. Mishum lois tiskoidudu, says the Ramah. This would be a violation of lois tiskoidudu. The Ramah says you can't have various groups with different minhagim in the same city. You can't have it that I'm keeping the first sphera and you're keeping the second sphera. We have to keep a uniform minhag. And I've seen this. I've seen in certain communities where everybody is expected to keep the first sphera or everybody is expected to keep the second sphera. This is the ruling of the Ramah. Now, if we reflect back on the sugya that we've just learned, so it should occur to us that this is not simple at all. The Ramah's ruling is not simple at all. And the Magen Avraham asks the questions that are probably running through all of our minds. Says the Magen Avraham there on the spot. The Magen Avraham asks on the Ramah, and this is item Zion in the notes. The Magen Avraham, it's a very long Magen Avraham, and this is one of the primary sources in this sugya. The Magen Avraham brings the entire Gemara in Yevamos that we've just learned together, the entire sugya, and the Magen Avraham checks off various points that become clear from this, that emerge from the sugya. Says the Magen Avraham, Im kein lamadu mizeh, what was the first thing that Reish Lakish said? When Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish, how do you explain the various minhagim of whether we work on Erev Pesach or not, what did Reish Lakish respond? That, why are you challenging me from a minhag? A minhag is not subject to what it's going to do. So says the Magen Avraham, Im kein lamadu mizeh, so we learn from the Gemara, from Reish Lakish's words, She'enu ela minhag, if something, the davar she'enu ela minhag, something that's merely a minhag, le'ar minhag like this guy to do. You don't say like this guy to do. So that's what Reish Lakish answered Rabbi Yochanan, that like this guy to do only applies to Isser v'Heter. It doesn't apply to mere minhagim. I have the custom that I don't work Erev Pesach. You have the custom you do work Erev Pesach. That's not subject to like this guy to do. So what does the Magen Avraham mean to ask? He means to ask on the Ramah, how could the Ramah declare that two people keeping first sphera versus second sphera is subject to what it's going to do? It's merely a minhag, and Reish Lakish said explicitly that a minhag is not subject to what it's going to do. That's the Magen Avraham's question. The Magen Avraham goes on. The Magen Avraham writes very cryptically, so the Machzor Shekel explains what the Magen Avraham is doing. The Magen Avraham continues, U'davar shehu aser, afshehu mitzad minhag shayek loitis goydu. Something that's forbidden is, even though it's only rabbinic, is subject to loitis goydu. What's the Magen Avraham referring to? He's referring to the next line of the Gemara. What did Rabbi Yochanan say back to Reish Lakish? He said, okay, So Minog is not subject to Loitis Goydidu. But what about the Mishnah that says that Beis Shammai says it's forbidden to perform work Erev Pesach? Beis Hillel says it's permitted to perform work Erev Pesach, the night of Erev Pesach and Erev Pesach. So it's an Isur V'Heter Shaila. You see here that even if it's a question of Mutter or Aser, we still allow it. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said back. So the Magen Aram says, so perhaps the Ramah considers the minhag of Sfiras HaOmer as an issue of Isser V'Heter. And the Poskim can debate this. When we keep Sfira and we don't take haircuts, do we consider it, how did we accept this upon ourselves? What's the nature of this mourning period? Is it a minhag that we observe a mourning period during this time because that's when the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away? Or is it an Isser to get a haircut? How do we, I don't know what you thought. I don't know what I think. How do we identify with this custom of not taking haircuts during the Sfira? Is it forbidden to take a haircut? Or is it merely a minhag not to take a haircut? So that's really what the Magen Avram here is entertaining, right? At first, the Magen Avram thinks that it's just a minhag. So it shouldn't be subject to Loitis Goydidu in the first place. Why is the Ramah saying that it's subject to Loitis Goydidu? Question point number one. Point number two, the Magen Aram says, on the other hand, the Gemara says, if something's a question of Isser V'Heter, then it is subject to Loitis Goydidu. So maybe we should look at Sfiras HaOmer as the minhag to not get haircuts and not listen to music. We should look at that as a matter of Isser V'Heter. It's a prohibition or a permit. We should look at it more chomer. Maybe it's more severe than merely a minhag. So maybe that would explain why the Ramah says that it's subject to Loitis Goydidu. But then finally, the Magen Aram says, but wait a minute, remember the Gemara says, what did Reish Lakish answer to that? Reish Lakish answered that the fact that I consider it that it's mutter to perform halacha, and you consider it that it's aser to perform halacha on Erev Pesach, that's not a problem. That doesn't undermine the two Torah. It doesn't create a situation of two Torahs, two sets of rules, because the reason why I'm not working is because I don't have anything to do. You're working because you have something to do, and I'm not working because I don't have anything to do. It doesn't have the appearance that people are keeping separate sets, different sets of rules. So again, the Magen Avram challenges the Ramah that maybe the reason why you're not getting a haircut is because you don't want to get a haircut. You don't need a haircut. Maybe I'm getting a haircut because I need a haircut, and you're not getting a haircut because you don't need a haircut. Just like the Gemara says, that I'm not working because I don't have anything to do, and you are working because you do have what to do, or vice versa. See, even though really you're not working because you consider it forbidden to work, and I am working, but it doesn't have the appearance of two Torahs, because people might think that you're not working because you don't have anything to do. So why don't we say the same thing regarding the haircuts? I'm getting a haircut during the first Sfira because I want to get a haircut. You're not getting a haircut because you don't want to get a haircut. How is it apparent that we're keeping separate sets of rules? So the Magen Avram really is asking on the Ramah a few questions. Number one, it's only a minhag in the first place. It shouldn't be subject to what it's going to do. Second of all, it's not clear, it's not apparent that people are actually observing separate rules. Who knows why you're not getting a haircut? That's the question of the Magen Avram. We should say the same thing when it comes to haircuts. Anybody who's casually observing should merely think that you don't need to get a haircut. Says the Magen Avram, it might be though that the Ramah holds, and this is going to be a good point. It might be that once Rava answered at the very end, that in the same, if as long as there's two Batei Dinim, it's not considered like the Skoy to do, but if there's no two different authorities, it's one Besdin, so to speak, it is like the Skoy to do, maybe at the end, maybe we don't hold like Reish Lakish, maybe the various points that Reish Lakish made, we disagree with, even though he made those points, we disagree with those points, and maybe Lemaskana, everything is subject to Loitis Goydidu, and the Magen Aram says that that seems to be the opinion of the Rush, because we saw the Rush together. The Rush concludes that the criteria for Loitis Goydidu is that you shouldn't have a divided Bezdin. He doesn't bring the points that Reish Lakish made, that a Minog is not subject to Loitis Goydidu, or that if you can justify that you don't have anything to do, it's not subject to loitus goy to do. Perhaps the overriding criteria is that there has to, that the one authority in the city can't be divided, but as long as everybody's following their thing, it shouldn't be a problem. So the obvious question is that a minhag still should not be subject to loitus goy to do, because again, there are two valid minhagim, and maybe we should consider that to be two separate batei dinim. So let's leave it as a little bit of a question for now, that how is the Ramah so sure that keeping different first sphera, second sphera, would be subject to the prohibition of loitus goy to do? How is the Ramah so sure? First of all, it's only a minhag. Second of all, it's not apparent that people are keeping different minhagim, because maybe I'm not getting a haircut and you are getting a haircut for some other reason. There could be 100 reasons why I'm getting a haircut and you're not getting a haircut. Okay. There's a similar example where this discussion is made. In Orach Chaim Hilchos Tefillin, Siman Lamed Aleph, so we know the famous question, do we wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? So the Mechaber holds on Chol HaMoed there's a prohibition to wear tefillin, for the same reason why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. And Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed is also referred to as an os. It's a sign. It's a sign between the Jewish people and Hashem. It's not necessary to wear tefillin, which is an additional sign. It would undermine the sign of the Yom Tov itself. We're observing Pesach. Why should we wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed Pesach? That's the Mechaber's opinion. The Ramah says, Yeshayim, there are those who say, Shechol HaMoed chayiv b'tefillin, that we are obligated to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And this is the custom, says the Ramah, in the diaspora. And the Ramah is so confident, we even recite a bracha on the tefillin that we put on Chol HaMoed. Just in deference to the Yom Tov, we make the bracha quietly. We don't make the bracha as loud as we would the rest of the year, sort of like a token gesture to the fact that it's Chol HaMoed. But according to the Ramah, you're supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it's usher to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Again, it's like Mimizrach LaMayrav, it's the distance between the Mechaber and the Ramah is as wide as the distance between East and West. Mimizrach LaMayrav. The Shulchan Aruch says it's forbidden to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Ramah says we're obligated to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, even with a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah incidentally says that even those who wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, most people do not make a bracha because suffik brachas, the brachas that ma'akiv. But we do know that there are two customs of wearing tefillin. It's a question of iser v'heter. The Shulchan Aruch paskins aser, the Ramah paskins mutter. Machoikas. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is usually the ruling authority for the Sfaradim. The Ramah is usually the ruling authority for the Ashkenazim. You might have noticed, and as time goes on, I'm not sure how this exactly happens, but more and more Ashkenazim are accepting upon themselves the minhag not to wear tefillin, because that was the goyin. The Vilna goyin's minhag was not to wear tefillin, and the Vilna goyin was the leading authority in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and with the travel and with people coming back from yeshivas. So little by little, I think it's becoming more and more common for Ashkenazim not to wear tefillin as well. But traditionally, it was always on the partisan line, Ashkenazim wear tefillin Chol HaMoed, Sfaradim do not wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. Here comes the Mishnah Berurah in Ois Tess, in Item Tess. Here's the Mishnah Berurah. Oy kasvu achroinim, the achroinim write, the ein nochen, it's not proper, that in one shul, ktsasim yenichu tefillin, some wear tefillin and some don't wear tefillin, because of loitus goy to do, because again, it's a violation of loitus goy to do. We should not be performing mitzvahs separately in a divisive manner. It gives the impression of two toiros. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins not to wear tefillin, the Ramah paskins to wear tefillin. We should segregate the groups. We shouldn't have in one shul a bilbul. We shouldn't have a mixture. Some people wearing tefillin, some people not wearing tefillin. It's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah actually gives us like guidelines. What happens if you find yourself in a shul that wears tefillin? So the Mishnah Berurah actually says you should put on tefillin, even if your custom is not to wear tefillin. But if the shul wears tefillin, you should wear tefillin that day of Chol HaMoed. If you find yourself in a shul that does not wear tefillin and there's no accommodations for a separate minyan, so then according to this Mishnah Berurah, then you should not wear tefillin. Some people say, and this follows along the lines of what we learned in the Gemara, imagine if the entire tzibur is wearing tefillin and you're not wearing tefillin. There are those who justify that maybe the reason you're not wearing tefillin is because you have a stomach ache, you're not feeling well that day, so you're not wearing tefillin that day because a person who has a stomach ache is patur from tefillin. He only wears tefillin for a few moments just to be yotze, but he wouldn't wear tefillin the entire duration of the davening. So there are those who justify that a minority not wear tefillin in a tzibur that is wearing tefillin, because the minority can justify themselves by saying that I have a different reason why I'm not wearing tefillin. I'm not wearing tefillin because I think it's usur to wear tefillin. I'm not wearing tefillin because I don't feel well today. I'm going to put tefillin on later on when I'm feeling better. So just like the Gemara says, just like Reish Lakish says, that those that are not working today, it's not apparent that they consider it forbidden to work today. They're not working today because they don't have anything to do. So if a minority of the congregation is not wearing tefillin, there is a possible justification that that minority of people are not wearing tefillin because they don't feel well today. There is such a justification. But the Mishnah Berurah says that by and large, it's better to segregate the groups, not to be in violation of loy tiskoydu. So I found it very interesting that in line with what we're learning, and it brings out the point very, very well, in the Sefer Yechavedas from Rav Avadya Yosef, in Chelek Dalet, Siman Lamed Vav, he writes the following, that he's not so sure. He disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah. He's not so sure. Because according to the Rif and the Rush, and those in the camp of the Rish and the Rush, the Rif and the Rush, Paskin like Rava, we saw the Rush together, the Rush says that there is no violation of Loi Tiskoydu if there are two separate Batei Dinim, even in the same city. Even though Beis Shammai is marrying the Tzara, and Beis Hillel is setting the Tzara free and not marrying, considers it forbidden to marry the Tzara, and they were not segregated, they were living in the same city, Beis Shammai is following their authority, Beis Hillel is following their authority, and that's what the Rush says, how we paskin, that you're allowed to have different groups in the same city as long as it's not a mishmash, as long as each one is following their clear authority, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, two separate batei dinim. So says Rav Avadya Yosef, b'vadai, shalagami min hogim shoinim ben edus hashkanazim and svardim. So these communities, that they had different minhagim from time immemorial, Ashkenazim and Sfardim, ein lochush le'isru loy tiskoydu. So the fact that the Ashkenazim do things one way and the Sfardim do things another way, that's apparently, seemingly, that's not worse than Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Each one is following their authority that dated back all the way till the earlier times. Everybody knows that there's two different ways of doing things, two different camps, two different authorities, two different batei dinim, so to speak. So it should not be subject to loitis koydu. That's what the Rush Paskin, the Rif Paskin. So harei hein nechshavim gam kem kishnei batei din b'yirachas. It's a virtual bezdin. The Svardim are following their custom, the Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is their bezdin. And the Ashkenazim are following the Ramah. The Ramah, so to speak, is their bezdin. Two virtual batei dinim in the same city. It's a conceptual two batei dinim. And says Rav Avadya Yosef, that so writes the Goyin Rav Mordechai Bennett in Shalos and Tshuvos Proshas Mordechai, that a well-known Pesach, a halachic authority, on tefillin, regarding tefillin and Chol HaMoed. Even though in the same city there are Svardim and Ashkenazim, the Svardim follow Maran Bet Yosef, who don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. It's also to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Ashkenazim follow the Ramah and they wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Says Rav Avadya Yosef, apparently, in the name of the Precious Mordechai, apparently, there shouldn't be a problem of loy tiskoydu. Mikom makom ein baze iser mishum loy tiskoydu, in contrast to the Mishnah Berurah, because this is considered two different batei dinim. When is there a prohibition of loy tiskoydu? In the tchilas hamachlekes, in the very beginning, when you have one bezdin where it's their responsibility to issue a definitive united front ruling, and the bezdin itself can't get their act together and they're issuing conflicting psukim, that's when Rava says there's a prohibition of loy tiskoydu. But if you have two clear authorities One authority is not mishubit. One authority is not obligated to the other. Two separate authorities that originated hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, says Rav Avi Yosef, says Rav Mordechai Bennett and Chalice and Shuvah's Proshas Mordechai, that it should not be subject to what it's going to do. It's only a problem if it's one bezin, a split jury, that they have an obligation to try to unify and create a unified halacha. But something that was nechlegu by a katmoinim, an antiquated machlokes that existed for thousands of years, each one is being noig like his rabbeim, ein bezin mishum leitis going to do. So says Rav Avadi Yosef that he doesn't think that wearing in the same congregation people wearing different tefillin, you're following Svar and I'm following Ashkenaz, it should not be subject to what it's going to do. The Mishnah Berurah says it is subject to what it's going to do. And this Sefer, this Proshas Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Bennett, he says that it's not subject to what it's going to do because each one is following their legitimate authority from hundreds and possibly thousands of years ago. Then the Rav Avadi Yosef also raises the point that the Magen Avraham rose, that the Sugin Yavamis, at least Reish Lakish said, that a minhag, different ways of doing things, is not subject to Loitis Gadda. Okay. So here comes now the opposing view on all of this. The Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud Dalet, says the following. U'bechlal Azara Zu, says the Rambam is very clear, that included in this prohibition, the prohibition of Loitis Gadda, is that two batei dinim in one city, pay attention, two separate batei dinim in the same city, one is being noig this minhag, and one is being noig that minhag. That's loitis going to do, says the Rambam, because this causes machloikis gedoyla. And it says loitis going to do, loisasu agudas agudas. The Rambam says clearly that loitis going to do applies even when it's two separate batei dinim in the same city, even when there are two clear legitimate authorities ruling differently, it is subject to loitis going to do. And the Rambam seems to say clearly that loitis going to do applies to various minhagim, and the Rambam says that it causes tremendous machlekes if people are doing things differently. Everything is subject to loitis going to do. So there are a few chadushim in the Rambam here, in item Yud Gimel. We're pointing out that there are a few novel things here in the Rambam. Number one, the Rambam paskins like Abaye, because Rava said clearly that two separate batei dinim in the same city are allowed to issue a conflicting psakim. It's only the same bezdin that has to get its act together. But two separate batei dinim are allowed to rule independent of each other. That was Rava. Abaye was the one who said that the two batei dinim have to try to get it together in the same city. So the Rambam passes like Abaye, that even two separate batei dinim in the same city are usher. Now this is actually a mystery, because whenever we have a Mechaikas Abaye and Rava, we usually paskin like Rava. So everybody jumps and asks on the Rambam, people are offering suggestions, but the Rambam seems to paskin like Abaye. This is like a bit of one of the mysteries of the world. Why is the Rambam paskin like Abaye? Let's leave that on the side. But in any case, the Rambam passes like a bayi that even two legitimate authorities in the same city are subject to loitis goyim. That's point number one. Point number two, the Rambam clearly says that even a minhag is subject to loitis goyim to do, contrary to what Reish Lakish in the Gemara said. Maybe the Rambam holds like what the Rosh says, that at the end of the sugya, we don't go with Reish Lakish's points, the points that Reish Lakish made. But the Rambam clearly says that minhagim are subject to loitis goyim. And the third interesting point of the Rambam is that the Rambam says a different reason for loitis goyim, different than Rashi. Rashi said it was more for kavod haTorah. We don't want to give the impression that the Jewish people have two separate Torahs, two separate sets of rules. The Rambam says the reason is not to cause machloikas. We don't ela shela yigroi machloikas, not to cause machloikas. So the Paiskim already ask why the Rambam, what business does the Rambam have passing like Abaye? That's not for now. The Paiskim discuss that. But these are the three novel ideas of the Rambam. Number one, he passes like Abaye that even two legitimate groups should not be doing things differently, because even in the same city, two batei dinim should not rule differently. They have to try to get the act together. That's one. Number two, says the Rambam, a minhag is clearly subject to loitis goyim to do. And number three, the reason for loitis goyim to do is different than Rashi's reason. The reason was we don't want to cause machlekes. So according to the Rambam, we can answer very easily the words of the Ramah. The Magen Avraham was asking on the Ramah. We can answer very easily. The Ramah says that you can't have in the same community people keeping separate minhagim of the Svira. First Svira, second Svira. I keep first, you keep second. According to the Rambam, the Ramah is very mevusis. There's a strong basis for the Ramah. Because like the Skoididu is subject, does apply to a minhag like Svira, point number one. Point number two, even in the same city, even if it's two legitimate minhagim, you should not be keeping it should not be apparent that you're keeping two different minhagim, even though each minhag is legitimate. And the same thing applies to tefillin and chalamoy. Now we can explain where the Mishnah Berurah is coming from. It's true, like Rav Avadah Yosef says, that the Sfardim have one bezdin and the Ashkenazim have a different bezdin. But the Rambam himself says that even two different batedinim, we have to try to keep it segregated even in the same city. So we have to know the parameters for that. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah has a good point that we should try to keep the minhagim of wearing tefillin separate. Okay, this is food for thought. Now there's another halacha which is very relevant here. There's a whole different halacha in Orach Chaim, also in the halachas of Pesach, referring to what we said before. If a person, this is where all the halachas of being bound by the minhag makom come from. The Mishnah says in Pesach makom shenagu, if a person has, some cities have a minhag not to work, other cities have a minhag to work Erev Pesach. If you travel from a city that works to a city that doesn't work, you have to respect the minhag of where you're a guest and not work. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. If a person originates from a city where they don't work and he goes to a city where they do work, so he has to keep his own personal minhag of not working. But again, he should not give the impression that he's abstaining from work because he feels that it's usher. He should excuse himself that he just doesn't have anything to do. And the Mishnah says, La'olam ha'yishana adam epnei ha'machlekes, that you have to respect the minhag of makom because of machlekes. This is a Mishnah in Perek Makom Shenagu. It's a pure din derabbanon mitzad minhag makom. Nothing to do with lois is going to do. So the Prima Gadam asks the obvious question in item Tez Zayin. The Prima Gadam asks the obvious question. Why? What do we need the Mishnah in Makom Shenagu? Why do we need this halacha that if you have the minhag in your city not to work and we have the minhag here to work, that when you come and visit us, you shouldn't show off that your minig is not to work, or vice versa. If I have a minig in this city that we do work, and I go to your city where the minig is not to work, I should respect the minig and not work. Asks the Prima Gadim, why do we need the Mishnah in Makom Shenagu to tell us this? Wouldn't it be anyway subject to loy tiskoydu? Wouldn't it be an iser doyraisa to be noyig differently? If everybody else is doing one thing, how can I not conform and do something else? Why does the Mishnah in Makom Shenagu have to tell us that there's a rabbinic prohibition, a sensitivity, because of machlokes to respect the minhag makom? Wouldn't it be aser doyraisa to do otherwise because of loitis goydidu? So I made the calculation myself. This is obvious. In item yudzayin. If you hold like the Magen Avraham that a minhag is not subject to like this going to do, like the Gemara seems to, like Reish Lakish in the Gemara said, and like the Magen Avraham entertains, and like Rav Avadya Yosef reminded us that the Gemara does say that a minhag is not subject to like this going to do, so then it makes a lot of sense. The prohibition of like this going to do doesn't apply to a minhag, but if there is an established minhag in the ear, and you're a guest in the city, you have to respect the minhag of the city, not because of what this guy to do, because perhaps minhagim are not subject to what this guy to do, but simply to respect the minhag of the makom. That's the Mishnah in Pesachim. And let's say there's no minhag of makom at all, then perhaps there wouldn't be necessarily what this guy to do, right? If you go to a city where everybody keeps one minhag, one sphira, maybe there will be an idea to follow, to respect that minhag and observe the sphere that in accordance with your city. But it's not subject to loitis goydidu. So according to the Magen Avraham, loitis goydidu applies to iser v'heter, and al yishana minhag makom applies to Minhagim. So it's very clear why we need these two separate halachas. But according to the Rambam, that there's an Isser Moitzis going to do even on a Minhag, the Rambam says that clearly, so asks the Primigadim the obvious question, what is the Mishnah in Psachim teaching us that you have to respect the Minhag HaMakom? Wouldn't it be Usser Doiraisa to do otherwise because of what this guy to do? So the Primigadim answers that, and this is an interesting insight, the prohibition of what this guy to do is to establish different groups. I do it this way, you do it that way. That there's a gudais ba'oifin kavua. There's a gudais in a permanent established way. A complete disregard for uniformity. That's the prohibition of what this guy to do. That ba'oifin kavua, in a routine manner, some people are doing it this way, some people are doing it that way. But if I'm merely a guest in your city, and your minig in your city is not to do malacha on Erev Pesach, and I happen to be doing malacha b'oifin arai, I'm here this year, next year I'm not even going to be here. It's not established, it's not a permanent situation. That would not be a violation of what this guy to do. That's not enough to give the impression that there are two Torahs, and that's why it would not be an Issa Doraisa. The Mishnah in Psachim, however, tells us that in deference, in out of respect for the Minhag HaMakom, so you should observe the Minhag HaMakom rabbinically. It's a question of etiquette, of following the custom of the Makom. But it would not be subject to what this guy to do because it's not an Isser, it's not a permanent situation, it's only Arai. That's what the Primogadim answers. So according to the Magen Avram, there's only like this guy to do on Isser Veheter, not on Minhagim. So that's why the Mishnah has to tell us that if there's an established minig in that makom, you have to observe, you have to respect the minig. And according to the Rambam, that there is a prohibition of like this guy to do even on Minhagim. So that would apply, that would be a prohibition to establish a community with two different Minhagim. Like the Ramah says, you shouldn't have people in the ear keeping first sphere, keeping second sphere in an oifen kavua. That would be like this guy to do. But a rai, just casually, temporarily, a guest, he would not be bound by what he's going to do to do his own thing. It's only a temporary situation. It's just out of deference to the Minhag HaMakom, he shouldn't publicly display that he's doing something different than everybody else. That's only a rabbinic al tishanan de Minhag HaMakom. There's an Igros Moshe in Chelek Hei, Aruch Chaim Siman Lamed Zayin, who gives us a very interesting insight in this whole idea. So now we're learning that there are two separate things. There's like this guy to do, and there's also simply respecting the Minhag HaMakom, even when it's not subject to what it's going to do. The Igros Moshe was asked, what happens if you have a shul where there's no akpada, each one davens in their own minhag, right? So whoever's davening, whoever has the yard site that day, davens in his minhag. Or sometimes you have a shul where there are different rooms in the same shul, and there's no established minhag in the shul. They accommodate everybody. There's no established minhag HaMakom. You can daven this way, you can daven that way. You have a choice. You prefer chocolate, you prefer vanilla. There's two. You have a choice. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you have a shul where it's a tefker, sometimes you daven this way, sometimes you daven that way. There's no oifen kavua. It really depends on the shliat tzibur. So Harbe Bat Knesset says the Igros Moshe, there are many shuls out there where they don't have a kavua nusach in the tefillah. Whoever stands before the Amud, he davens the way he's used to, and they don't mind. There's no established minig in the shul. I never saw a shul like this, but the Rav Moshe says that apparently there are shuls. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Pashut Lianias Daiti. He says, it's obvious to me that there's no way this is going to do, because this difference is not significant enough that it should be subject to what this is going to do. The small nuances in the tefillah, and everybody knows that there's different than hagim, so in this case, it's not going to cause machlokes. There's no what this is going to do, and there's no machlokes because they don't have an established minhag. However, says the Rav Moshe, that if a shul has an established minhag, so it's true there might not be like this guy to do, but it could be subject to al tishana b'nei machlokes. It's interesting because when I first moved to Philadelphia on Sukkot, I was shaking my lulav the old way, the minhag Ashkenaz, and I said to myself, it's not like this guy to do because it's just minhag. But someone actually came over to me and said that that's not the way we do it here. So the Mishnah in Psachim is right. Even though there might not be like this guy to do, but it could cause machlokes. So if there's an established minhag, the halacha is that you're required to respect the established minhag, not necessarily because of what this guy to do, but at the very least, because al tashaneh b'nei minig ha-hamokom. Yasha koyach, everybody.